Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Every person can be a force for good. Free to forge his own destiny.
That's the trailer for the movie Man of Steel. Now, an obvious connection. This is a movie that's been made and remade. It's a story of epic, legendary proportions in the comic book world. And Superman is the superhero of superheroes, if you will. And so the obvious connection that many have made is to a savior figure. Does this latest incarnation, the Man of Steel, telling the story of Superman, do that? Joining us to review the movie Man of Steel, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts and he's associate pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
That savior figure, that Jesus connection to Superman, does the Man of Steel attempt this and does it succeed?
The Man of Steel goes way out of its way to attempt this, more than you're going to find in a lot of movies probably coming out this year. They employed a company, this Grace Hill Media company that does public relations, specifically to market the film to evangelicals, really to all Christians, but probably more to evangelicals, making the distinction between or trying to draw a connection between Jesus and Superman, very specifically providing materials for people to do that and look at the movie in that way. Now, that's the attempt, and they bolster that with scriptural passages and things of that nature, but they kind of only get at parts of who Jesus is, as you're going to find Jesus in the scriptures. So I would have to say that it's an attempt to do it, but it's maybe not a full picture of who Christ is in Scripture.
Okay, so what do they present in terms of that parallel? How is it presented in the movie Man of Steel?
Well, they hit some of the... They take the Superman story, the origin stories of Superman, and they hit some of the same notes that you're going to find in the story of Jesus. So that he is a miraculous birth, for instance. So they do this kind of a thing. The reason that Superman is a miraculous birth is that on his home planet, people aren't having natural births. They're all grown in, like, test tubes and then in, like, little sacks of jelly somewhere. So the fact that his own mother actually bore him through pregnancy and gave birth to him makes him a special miraculous birth in that context for Superman. Of course, for Jesus, this is a different kind of a thing, that he's born because of the work of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. But they make that kind of a connection. And then they also make connection in the early life of this superhero as he's growing up, sort of an incident that occurs. So in a way, you could also see how Jesus, when he's around 12 years old, is in the temple being questioned by the rabbi, by the different leaders in the temple there. So there's these little moments where they kind of parallel along the way, and then of course the Superman character is then told who he is, and he experiences this, you know, this kind of like power and knowing what he can do and things of that nature and understanding more about it. But again, that's not exactly the same as the story of Jesus. You kind of get almost like most of the listeners won't have heard this before. Maybe you have, but like in the Gospel of Thomas, there's apocryphal, and the Gospel of Thomas is not scripture, but there's apocryphal stories about, you know, things like a young Jesus making sparrows out of clay, and like there's some of that kind of stuff growing into this kind of story. They're trying to paint this picture along parallel lines, but they're not always, it's just the surface stuff. It's not the deep, actual, true nature of what Scripture is trying to teach you about the incarnation of Christ. You know, they're just hitting the basic notes.
In the end, does the savior figure that is Superman in the film, does he emerge as a savior or simply as supreme example to follow?
Well, this is where they really focus in on this idea of him as an example. Like his biological father from the planet Krypton, you know, he gives this image of him being that his son is going to grow up and be this person that they can follow, and that they're going to stumble and fall, but eventually they're going to be able to do the things that he does. And so there is this kind of example image. Jesus, the actual Jesus, is in Man of Steel, but he shows up in stained glass praying in the Garden of Gethsemane behind Superman as he's deciding what he's going to do about, you know, the fate of the world and all this kind of stuff. So they're drawing those connections. It's not as though it's a film that exists outside of a Christian ethos. Like, you even have Superman, the Man of Steel in this movie, talking with a pastor or a priest. It doesn't say what denomination it is that he walks into this church. And he has a moment and he talks with this priest, and he fails miserably as a priest because he directs Superman's attention to making a leap of faith, not even in himself, but a leap of faith in trusting people, humanity. Trust them. Make a leap of faith for them, which again is not what you're going to find in the story of Jesus from Scripture, that the leap of faith he makes for humanity isn't because he's trusting that they're actually really good and that they could make something of themselves, but it's that we are all miserable sinners and we need to be saved by someone, and that's him.
You say that there's a theme of decision and of kind of, I think your term is purpose-drivenness, that evangelical buzz phrase that we find in this movie. How so?
Well, it's just this, again, over and over again, this idea that, you know, Superman is there to help humanity strive towards something and achieve these goals. It's not really, it just fits into that whole notion that, you know, they can be better, you can make them better, they will be better by your example. And then to take that whole thing and apply it to the one who's watching the film and suggest that that can be that way for you. It's a little disingenuous because it doesn't take into account the fact that people fail at what they try to accomplish in life and what happens then.
So the message sounds like, basic message, what humanity needs is someone not only who has the occasional super ability, but they need an example to follow and someone to bring out the best in them so they can be all they can be.
Yeah, and, you know, they want a savior who can punch the lights out of somebody, too, if need be.
You have pastoral concerns about some of the imagery in the movie. With a couple minutes left to us, what are those concerns?
Well, the film has a lot of destruction in it. Like, there is a lot of buildings being destroyed. The last 40 minutes, about an hour to 40 minutes, is just a relentless stream of buildings being destroyed and of people being, well, presumably killed. It's a PG-rated film, so you don't really see a lot of the blood and guts that would actually happen at the level of destruction that they're presenting. Now, this, again, is something you see in previous films this year. We've already seen some stuff in Star Trek Into Darkness and Iron Man 3, but just this level of destruction. And as a film goer, after you've seen a couple of movies like this in a row, you start to think to yourself, you know, if this was real, so many people would die. So many people would be suffering. And there's this moment in the movie where all of this is going on, and this intern from the Daily Planet comes rushing out and says, he saved us. And there's like five or six people standing there. Meanwhile, there had to have been thousands of people dying in these buildings that are crushing everywhere. It just kind of rings untrue, and as it's unsettling. And I think because it's just relentless, it's just 40 solid minutes. It's like three action sequences, one after the other after the other. If you're a little kid and you're seeing this, you would need, I think that it would be well worthwhile for a parent to sit down and talk about that with their children if they go see this movie, because those are the kinds of images that can be haunting later for a young person. You know, just be, and it's as action, but it's so much destruction. And to talk about how God loves us even in the midst of our suffering, and then to point the child to the cross and Christ suffering there. And that's the one thing that's missing from this movie, is that at no point do you ever feel as though Superman could actually die in doing anything. Like, yes, it looks like he may be going to lay his life down for his friends, but there's no actual threat of him dying. And in Scripture, like in actual history, Christ died on the cross. Scripture records that, and then he rose again from the dead. You don't have that kind of thing happening. And that kind of level of suffering that occurs at the cross isn't there in this. So if they want to make the connection, if they're really driving hard to make a strong connection between Jesus and Superman, they're missing the cross in the midst of it. Now, for a lot of film goers, that's
about
not
15
gonna be
seconds
important.
Here.
It's not going to be important for a lot of film goers, but the Christian film goer, you know, may feel uncomfortable because the cross is just simply missing if they're making that connection between Jesus and the Man of Steel.
Folks, you can read Pastor Giese's review of the movie Man of Steel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Next time, Pastor Giese will review the movie World War Z. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Joe Dallas about the closing down of a gay therapy center, Exodus International. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, it's not good enough to parallel these things. And it does demonstrate that both the culture and, sad to say, much of evangelicalism's view of Jesus is more or less crossless. Just another Superman, maybe a Superman without the cape, Superman in robes and sandals. And that is a sad commentary, not only on the culture, but on much of the evangelical view of Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.